Well, let's talk a little bit about Iraq, because this is going to, there's actually a couple different issues about Iraq I wanted to talk to you about. You've mentioned several times now that you've been you're more optimistic about what's going on in Iraq. Can you tell me what the progress is that you're seeing there?
Well, that clearly the Iraqi security forces are getting stronger month by month. I mean, that's obvious. I mean, I spent most of 2005 there, and it was just plain to see. And I talk with people about Iraq. And communicate with people in Iraq nearly daily. And the progress continues. In a lot of the areas, for instance, Mosul, the ISF or the Iraqi security forces are starting to do a lot of unilateral missions. They were doing that while I was there, actually. And when I first got there, they weren't doing any unilateral missions. And then through time, they started doing joint missions with our forces. And finally, they were actually generating their own intelligence and running their own operations. And that's the ISF. Now, when it comes to the government, obviously there's, you know, always going to be friction in any government. We have a lot of friction in ours.
Right.
But they're making a lot of progress all around. I mean, Iraq can make it. Will it make it? I don't know, but it definitely can, and we're making a lot of progress there.
Now, not too long ago, you had written that you felt that Iraq was slipping into a civil war. Is that something that you still see?
Yes, I took a lot of flack from that. But, you know, I first actually wrote that back in February of 2005. So I wrote it more than a year ago. It was pretty clear, actually. You could see it. Nobody wants to call it a civil war because it has, you know, political overtones here. But I wasn't saying it's a Bush bash or anything like that. But I just wanted to call it what it was because, you know, you would see the violence was Iraqi on Iraqi violence. Now, it's a very, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that violence. Some of it's tribal, some of it's religious, some of it's criminal activity, some of it's definitely terrorist activity trying to overthrow the government. I mean, it's a very con Iraq.
Well, I want to come back to the flak that you took on that, but the but I want to talk a little bit about the criminal versus terrorist element there. You've talked about in Afghanistan how the criminal element has come back very strong with the drug trade. Are you seeing a lot of the type of criminal activity, sort of gang type of activity in Iraq as well?
Absolutely. A large part of the violence there clearly is caused by nothing more than thugs. I mean, kidnapping is an industry, literally an industry. I mean, if they get a good target, they'll even sell them to the terrorists. But generally, they'll kidnap somebody and extort money, you know, from the family. And, you know, a lot of the, you know, robbery is common. It's just, you know, Saddam let out all his jails just before the invasion and kind of seeded the ground there. And they've got a lot of weapons. So, yeah, definitely a lot of the violence there is nothing more than criminal.
Yeah, and do you think that the Iraqi security forces are have gained at least some ground against that in their law enforcement ability?
In some areas, definitely. And for instance, in Talafer, definitely. The president was telling the truth when he gave that speech, a month or a month and a half ago about Talafer. He was entirely accurate. Mosul, they've gotten a great deal of control. Baghdad's still very, you know, they're very violent. But I've been, you know, all over Baghdad, and they're not totally out of control, let's say. You know, they're getting more and more control. But they're probably never going to completely stop the violence. But the thing is, you know, our people just need to continue to build that ISF so that we can, you know, pull more into the bases and then finally, hopefully, out of Iraq. But that'll be years from now.
Well, in the unique situation for Baghdad is that you have all of the different groups sort of crammed together into a relatively small space. Isn't that correct? You have a large Shiite population in the middle of the Sunni triangle there in Baghdad.
You sure do. And also, it's the biggest population center in Iraq. So, you know, for both of those reasons, there's a lot of violence. It's also right next to Al-Anbar province, you know, which was left unguarded for a long period of time. The Marines have been fighting very hard and doing a good job out there. But, the capital there is just very hard to control. It's just this huge population.
And it's going to be probably until the Iraqi security forces can come fully online, I would imagine, because I don't think the Americans are going to be able to pacify Baghdad on a law enforcement basis. I mean, that doesn't sound like it's a realistic expectation.
Not at all. I mean, the best thing that we can do is continue to help them, equip them and train them, and then keep turning over battle space to them. For instance, like we've done in places like Mosul. I remember some of my last missions out there were getting ready to go somewhere, and the Iraqi security forces would call in, and they would say, hey, can you clear out of such and such area? We're going to do an operation. That way, you know, we didn't accidentally hit them. but they were creating their own intelligence and running their own missions, and very successful. And sometimes they were giving critical intelligence to our people. I would be there. I would see it. I mean, it's working in some areas. It's just a very big country. It's 26 million people. It's going to take time.
Michael, then just to give people an idea of how it is that you're traveling through these countries, are you embedding with the troops, or are you operating independently out in the field?
In Afghanistan, I was completely independent. I mean, I was literally riding around in an unarmored land cruiser and, going and staying. I didn't stay on. I went to 5 bases there, but I didn't stay on any bases. I just went, visited, talked with people, and looked at some construction projects and whatnot, but I stayed actually out in the cities. And now in Iraq, I stayed mostly embedded with U.S. forces, disembedded a couple of times for short periods. So it was a totally different dynamic between Iraq and Afghanistan.
Now let's talk a little bit about the flak that you got when you came back here and started doing the rounds for talk shows again. And we have already discussed that we're not going to mention names here unless you want to bring them up. But I mean, I'm not going to pry. But you did run into some conservative talk show hosts that got somewhat more hostile towards you when you started talking about Iraq being in a civil war. Is that correct?
There was definitely some flack. I think people saw it as an attack on the war itself. For instance, that we can't make it now, that it's work, supposed to stay, and we can't or whatever. But that wasn't the case. I was just saying what I felt was the truth, that the war clearly, most of the attacks are Iraqi on Iraqi attacks. They're not mostly on Americans or coalition forces. And, they're losing a lot of people there. They're losing, what are they losing now? 60, 80 a day, something like that? That's a lot of folks, and it's a population about the size of Texas. So, if a country that, if Texas were losing that many people per day, let's say almost, a couple thousand a month or so, or slightly less than that, that would be a. I think we would call that a civil war.
Call that at least the Alamo, I would think.
Yeah, we would call it a lot.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.